Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the text just read previously, focusing on those words, rejoice in the Lord always. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're living right now in what Paul Brecher once called an upside-down world. And I'm not just talking about the upcoming election, although I can't believe the choice we're being offered for the highest office in the land, but don't get me started. Anyway, when Jesus is preaching in this morning's lesson, what he's preaching is much more profound and much more enduring, frankly, than the momentary eruptions in the politics of our relatively young country. I'm a historian, so I can say that. You know, whether we'll endure, whether this is the end of civilization as we know it, these are not my concerns, nor Jesus either, at least not right now. Frankly, one of the first lessons I learned from this text is that Jesus has a much longer view of things. You have to have the long view to believe anything he's saying here, frankly. And so in the brief time we have together, I want to go through each of these Beatitudes and to see what they say about our present situation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, the poor in spirit are not necessarily all that happy about their present state of affairs. And then again, there is, of course, a difference between being blessed and being happy. You know that. I mean, happiness usually doesn't last for very long. Being blessed, that can last an eternal lifetime. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but when this whole world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I just want to go up on the roof, with apologies to James Taylor, and get away from it all, frankly. But Jesus says the poor in spirit are blessed. The poor in spirit know, you see, that this world is screwed up, and they're screwed up too. And they don't look to this world for blessing or happiness, ultimately. Now, of course, God gives us many gifts in this world, but I can't get no satisfaction if this is the only place I find happiness. Happiness, blessedness, is found in knowing that we're loved by God, and that our destiny ultimately is the kingdom of heaven. And I have to keep repeating that word, ultimately. Jesus was poor in spirit on more than one occasion. And remember, after everybody left him in John chapter 6, I remember him asking his disciples, are you going to leave me too? He knew what it was like to be poor in spirit, and yet he says, rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. Those who mourn can hardly be considered happy or blessed either. Usually they mourn over the loss of someone or someone close to them, something close to them. Today in our upside-down world, however, we try to avoid mourning at all costs. We occupy our time with whatever we can, whether it's TV, the internet, video games, drugs, alcohol, anything that can distract us and help us avoid dealing with the pain. Those who truly mourn, though, those who really know how devastating life can be sometimes, have this promise from our Lord that they will be comforted. They will be comforted by the one who wept at Lazarus' tomb. They will be comforted by the very one who came out of the tomb himself in triumph over death. He was the first in a long line of sons and daughters of God who have the promise of eternal life. And so he says, rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Well, the meek are usually the ones who get trampled on in the stampede of life. I mean, just watch an episode of Survivor, which I've never done, by the way. you know, but I've heard about it, okay? And you'll know what I mean. You know, in our upside-down world, the blessed are the wolves of Wall Street. The ones with the most toys, the rich and famous, the person who can make millions of dollars composing an 8-second YouTube video. You know, 60 Minutes calls them the new influencers. Well, anyway, that's who's blessed in our upside-down world. The meek, on the other hand, just don't get very far. They probably don't make a lot of money. They get forgotten by almost everyone. When they help people, no one writes a story about them, probably doesn't even notice them. And yet in Jesus' world, they inherit the earth. And the Apostle Paul understood this well when he wrote, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God or form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to keep holding on to. But he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant." That's a different perspective than our world has. And he took that form of a servant all the way to death, even death on a cross, so that we, the meek, who realize that every good gift comes from the hand of God, can ultimately know that we will inherit the earth. So rejoice, be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he says. At first glance, that sounds rather needy. You know, and I suppose we are. We get hungry, we get needy. But what do people hunger and thirst for in our upside-down world? What is the thing they just gotta have? The latest iPhone, the latest whatever? Frankly, our upside-down world is great at creating hunger. It's less great in being able to satisfy that hunger. And probably one of the last things that an upside-down world craves is righteousness, you know, doing what is right, being tuned into the one who can make things right. And yet, there is only one who satisfies the hungry heart, and you know him. As Augustine, echoing the psalmist, said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God." God's Spirit satisfies the hungry heart with an amazing array of gifts that satisfy a much deeper craving, gifts such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Rejoice and be glad. These are your gifts, and yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful. This beatitude reminds me of my students in Ethiopia this past summer. I've shared this story with some of you. Apparently, you know, I know this is hard to believe. I gave them too hard of an assignment. And they actually had their class representative, the class monitor as he was known. He presented the class's grievance to me at the end of class. And I've never had this happen before, and I think maybe it'd be a good trend to start here at Concordia Seminary. But he actually got down on the floor, bowed down before me, and cried out, "Be merciful!" You know? To which I, of course, having watched the movie Gladiator, wanted to say, "Am I not merciful?" But I didn't. And by the way, they hadn't seen the movie, so yeah. But if that doesn't go to a professor's head, I don't know what will, but I digress, obviously. Back to our text. Merciful people usually get taken for a ride or get taken advantage of. Rarely does that lead to happiness. But the truly merciful are blessed because they not only have received mercy, which we all have every time we come to our Lord in repentance and faith, but also because we have the privilege of extending God's mercy to others who need it more than we perhaps even realize. So rejoice, be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart are considered either naive or too innocent to get very far ahead in this upside-down world. The pure in heart don't thrive very well in this upside-down world we inhabit. Everything today seems almost by design to take away any purity in our hearts. This coarse culture of ours wages war against anything decent, holy, pure, godly. But the pure in heart know the one who purifies them in the water, the cleansing that serves as a washing of regeneration and renewal, the rinse cycle, if you will, we undergo that cleanses the eyes that have seen things they shouldn't have seen, that washes out ears that have heard way too much, and restores eyes, ears, and a mouth that actually sees, hears, and tastes that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers. And our world actually kind of likes this one, at least initially. Can't we just all get along, you know? Peacemakers are a wonderful thing as long as they're tolerant. The upside-down world holds tolerance as the highest virtue, but tolerance rarely leads to peace. Tolerance, by the way, is of course a good thing as far as it goes. It just doesn't go that far. I mean, it falls short on so many levels. The peacemakers, on the other hand, know that true peace comes only with repentance and forgiveness. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. The world's peace at best is a band-aid that covers over hurts and rarely resolves them. What do real peacemakers actually do? Well, they first of all assume there must be war or conflict or something going on like that. If you believe the news reports, our world is in a constant state of war, but so are we. You know, Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 7, in fact. We're at war with ourselves. The good we want to do, we don't do, and the evil that we don't want to do, that's what we end up doing. It's so bad that Paul even exclaims, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Well, into this battle comes the peacemaker, the peacemaker, the Son of God, who brought peace to a world at war with him and at war with itself. And for those who receive the terms of the peace agreement, in other words, grace, forgiveness is freely given as we come in repentance and faith and trust that God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And not only that, he'll call us his own. Jesus said, "We shall be called sons of God, we peacemakers." And just like God's Son brought peace, that's what sons and daughters of God will do as well. So rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. This is the hardest one, I think. And it's not just any persecution, by the way, but persecuted for righteousness. You notice that? And Jesus defines in our text what that persecution looks like. He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." There's a lot of that going around lately in our world and, frankly, in the church. Rejoice and be glad. The upside world says, "You've got to be kidding." As Ivana Trump famously said, "Don't get mad, right? Get even." And those words are even more interesting now. But, I mean, by the time you get through all these beatitudes, at least according to the upside down world, you've got a pretty sorry looking group, don't you? You know, a poor, crying, meek, merciful, hungry, goody-two-shoes, peace-loving, persecuted fool. That's frankly how they saw Jesus too. But what I hear Jesus saying really, or more like what I hear him asking in this list of beatitudes, is this: who are you going to let define you? What defines you? I mean, how do you want to be known? Do you want to be known by what the world thinks about you, this upside-down world? I mean, that's one way to go. But prepare to be disappointed, because it's a very fickle world we live in, with a very short attention span and an even shorter fuse when it comes to tolerating God's children. But many choose this route. Or do you want to be known by what God, your Heavenly Father, thinks about you? Well, that's the other way to go. And if you go the way of the Beatitudes, you're not going to always see immediate returns. That word ultimately comes back again and again, but you have Christ's promise that I'd like to leave you with. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. Your hunger will be satisfied. You will be shown mercy. You will see God. You will be in his kingdom. And not as one of the servants, but as his sons and daughters. So rejoice and be glad. Your reward is out of this upside down world. And may it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen.